Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
If it's new, it's not true. If it's true, it's not new. So the Bible says, if anybody comes to you teaching you anything other than what you've already heard, let him be accursed. In other words, the Bible's going to have it. If I come to you next week and say, listen, I was in my room and God gave me a new message to give you, and you know it's not true, you know to reject it.
Today on Practical Christian Living, we see faith that was strong enough to heal. God's Word tells us faith without works is dead. Faith is absolutely a vital part of the Christian's life and walk, but much of what is taught about faith is false. What does God's Word say about faith, and what is it meant to do in our lives? Stay with us for more out of Luke 8, verses 37 through 56. Here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
Bible tells us that people would put out stretchers in Jerusalem, and when Peter would walk by, while Peter was involved in the church there, that his shadow would fall upon the people who were sick and that they would be healed. Nothing magical about Peter's shadow. It was simply that they had connected Peter to Jesus, and so in their minds they said, this is the point of faith. That's why I believe these crooks and charlatans, these so-called faith healers that'll spin their coats around during services and go through all kinds of funky things, there's real, genuine healings that take place there. Not because there's anything about them that God would ever want to use, because I don't believe there is. I believe they'll be judged by God because they're about money. That's what they're about. I think God will judge them for that. But God honors the individual who says, if I can go to that event, I believe God will heal me. And then God reaches out to some and touches them. A point of faith. I believe there's a point of faith in a lot of areas of our lives. Things that receiving gifts from God. I had a conversation with a friend of mine this week about praying in tongues. About, you know, just I never got the gift of tongues. What should I do? I said, you know what? Just take a step of faith. Get by yourself. Make some noises. See what happens. No one's around to laugh or anything. Just get by yourself and make it's a point of faith. It's just saying, Lord, I'm going to step out in faith. If you've got it for me, then give it to me. You say, Lord, I want to share, but I'm scared. Step out in faith. Begin to share. Just who knows what God's going to do if you just step out in faith and begin to share. You say, oh, I really want to do a Bible study at work. There's an opportunity, but I can't teach the Bible. How do you know that God won't gift you? Step out in faith. What's the worst that could happen? You stink. That's the worst. The worst could be people could go, this is pretty bad. I don't think I'm going to go. Well, that's not so bad. If we think it's bad, it's generally because of our pride. In other words, if I step out in faith and something fails, and you guys know I'm not afraid to have something fail. I'm not afraid to tell you guys, I thought I heard from God on this, but I didn't. Because I'm no different than you with my communication with God. I don't have a one-way line with him. He didn't call me up on my cell phone. Robert, got a new idea for you. And it's only arrogance for a pastor, a leader, anybody to go, you know what, I never make mistakes. Whenever I start something, it's God. And that's just arrogance. And sometimes we don't step out in faith because sometimes we're afraid. Sometimes there's fear. Sometimes we just haven't been encouraged to step out in faith. But sometimes it's a little bit arrogance. We're afraid to get out there and then have to go, well, that wasn't really God that told me. I'm not afraid to tell you guys that. Guy, you know what makes me not afraid to do that? Because I know you guys don't always hear from God either. Sometimes you think you do and you don't. So how can you judge me? Right? I mean, you just go, well, Robert didn't hear from God there. It's obvious. It's like I said, I'll grind it in reverse, you know, beep, 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 back on out of things. Not be afraid to say, but you know what? We've stepped out in faith so often and seen God meet us there. It's a tremendous thing. It's just that point, that contact of faith. And that's this woman. She just reaches out in faith. Sometimes I'll pray this way. I'll say, Lord, I don't know if this is what you want us to do, but I believe it is. You've said that anything that is not of faith is sin and that it's impossible to please you without faith. And so, Lord, I'm going to do this. We're going to do this, if it's the church, believing that you let us. just believing it, because it's not a sin if I'm by faith believing you. And if it's not you, then just don't bless it. Just show us and reveal it to us, because God's big enough to do that. And I found that there are times when that happens. When I get into it and go, that wasn't God at all. I thought I was hearing from God. I wasn't hearing from God at all. But then there are other times where God just does tremendous and awesome things. There are other times where, even against the flow, this whole campus, when we started the East Campus, it's just so interesting how many people said, what are you doing? Even after we started, and for 2 years, we were less than 200 people. Our other campus was a couple thousand. We were less than 200 people in this campus. And I had somebody who would count, and they'd come up to me and go, okay, we had 190 today. There's 212 last week. What do you want to do? Well, I think we'll just keep teaching and just see what God's going to do. I think the Lord was testing our faith to see. And I look at what God's done today through both campuses, and I'm amazed. God uses faith. God honors faith. Faith is the means by which we receive from God. If we don't have faith, we're not going to receive. Faith in God, not faith in faith, as some people, what is faith in faith? It's like nothing. You put faith in the wrong person, you make a mistake. You put faith in a person you can trust, you never make a mistake. So when you put faith in God, it's so much can happen, and so much happens in our lives. Point of contact, and she's healed. Jesus, verse 45, says, who touched me? When all denied, including her, wasn't me. Peter and those with him said, Master, the multitudes throng and press you, and you say, who touched me? He's like, what are you talking about? Everybody's pressing up against you, and you say, who touched me? But Jesus said, somebody touched me, for I perceive power going out from me. Now, when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and fell down before him. She declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said to her, daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Now let's pause here for a minute. We'll come back to this. But let's go back to the beginning of our story. As Jairus, the leader of the synagogue, who's kind of used to getting his way and used to people following him, says, will you come because my daughter's dying? And then he's on the way, and then who touched me? And Jairus, everybody. That's who. No, I felt power. And this woman comes forward trembling, and I can see Jairus going, my daughter's dying. We can't wait. Waiting on God sometimes is one of the hardest things that we do. Believing that God should have moved by now, but he hadn't done it. We just haven't seen our child saved or God move in our marriage the way that we believe that he ought to move. The Bible says, do not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you faint not. Some of us are in a holding pattern. Just going in circles. Okay, God, doesn't seem like you're doing anything. My husband's still a jerk. I keep praying for him. Keep whatever. I'm in a holding pattern. We don't like it. We don't like being in the waiting room. But the Bible says those that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength and will mount up with wings like eagles and run and not be weary and walk and not faint. That's to mount up with wings like eagles as we wait on him. Well, Jairus is being tested here. Certainly, Jesus needs to move faster. And now he stops to have a conversation with this lady, and he's got to be frustrated. In verse 48, he said to her, daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Now, her faith in Jesus has made her well. There is false teaching often has a grain of real truth in it. And the false teacher takes it to this extreme, makes it into something that seems new. And as I've said many times, if it's new, it's not true. If it's true, it's not new. So the Bible says, if anybody comes to you teaching you anything other than what you've already heard, let him be accursed. In other words, the Bible's going to have it. If I come to you next week and say, listen, I was in my room and God gave me a new message to give you, then you know it's not true. You know to reject it. If I come and say, here's what the scriptures say, and I can back it up in the scriptures, then you know that you can receive it. But they take it to this area that's wrong, like the teaching on faith that says that faith is the means by which God wants everybody healed. They misuse faith, and God wants everybody rich. Trust me, I wish in my flesh, I wish that was a true teaching. I'd like to never get sick. I'd like to never get a cold. I'd like to never get a sore throat. I'd like to not get a terminal disease. I'd like to be rich. I'd like to have everything that I ever really wanted. I'd like that teaching to be true, but it's not true. It's, in fact, self-seeking. It's not surrendering to God. Paul prayed that I might know you in the power of your resurrection and the fellowship of your suffering. People today say, Lord, that I might know you in a brand new Corvette. That I might know you in a, whatever, because God, I know you want me rich. You own the cattle on 1,000 hills. And there's this teaching that's so bizarre that it amazes me that anybody believes it because it's so far out there. So we go the other way. I call it the rubber band effect. We teach against it, which it needs to be taught against. Because we don't follow Jesus so we can get rich. And Jesus doesn't just want you rich. He wants to enrich your life with true riches, with things that really matter, not physical things, which is coveting, seeking after stuff, and steals people's lives away from stuff. And how many people, for the love of money, have been shipwrecked in their faith? The Bible says many, many, many. But we go the other way. And now we lose the real teaching on faith. The power that is in trusting in the Lord, just saying, I trust you. I believe in you, and I know that these things can be done. We lose that. I think that's happened. I think we're so scared of that false teaching that we're afraid to tell people, hey, your faith can cause you to receive from God. Your faith. Jesus told the guys that lowered the paralytic, it's your faith to his friends still on the ceiling. It's the faith of your friends. You guys made him well by your faith. I love that. My faith can be used in other people's lives. I can believe God for something in your life. Isn't that amazing? Faith is I believe it's a powerful thing when it's put in God, trusted in him. And I believe there are things that we don't receive in our lives because we don't step out in faith. Abraham believed God. Abraham said, Lord, you told me I was going to have a kid, and this guy that's not born in my home is my heir. I think it's Genesis 16. And God said to Abraham, this man will not be your heir, but you will have a seed that will come from your womb. And the seed, which he meant, was the Messiah, by the way, not Isaac, his son. But the Bible says that Abraham believed God. See, faith is trust, it's belief, it's connected. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him righteousness. What did Abraham believe? He believed that God was going to give him a son. When Abraham believed God that he was going to get a son, God accounted it to him for his righteousness. He gave him credit on righteousness. Jesus hadn't died on the cross yet, but because he believed him, God said, I'm going to give you the credit. That was the greatest extension of credit you've ever seen when God extended it to Abraham and to David and all the Old Testament saints, because Jesus hadn't died yet. All of them got saved on credit. Then Jesus paid the debt. And he not only paid the past debt, he paid our debt. So we're no longer saved on credit, but because we believe God. So we receive salvation because we believe him. It's by faith that we have been saved, not of ourselves, lest any man should boast. So it's our faith that brings us into salvation, believing that God can forgive my sins. It's by faith. Who knows what else God could do? Who knows how God could use you? Who knows what doors could be opened? Jesus said, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea. That's tremendous. We lose that power because of that false teaching. It makes me hate the false teaching all the more. Because we've lost the real essence of what Jesus is talking about, because these guys have turned it into Corvettes and houses and money and health and wealth instead of the real power of God to set people free, change lives radically. Save children and parents and marriages and relationships between fathers and sons and daughters and fathers. That which really matters in the long run, that which matters throughout eternity, mountains in our lives that we think can't be moved. But faith moves those mountains. He says to her, "Go in peace." And while he was still speaking, someone came to the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, "Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher." While he's waiting, you can see Jairus saying, "I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. I knew this delay. She's dead." But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, "Do not be afraid, only believe, and she will be made well." Can you see how this whole section back at Capernaum is on faith? He now says to him, just believe. The Bible tells us that when Jesus went back to his hometown of Nazareth, during his ministry, his headquarters were in Capernaum, he had grown up in Nazareth. When he returned to his hometown of Nazareth, that he could not do many great things there because people didn't believe. There were things he couldn't do because they didn't believe. Now, you think, well, did that mean that people went to him and said, "Lord, I need to be healed," and Jesus prayed for people and said, "I'm sorry, you just don't believe, so I can't do many great things here"? I don't think that's what it was. Everybody Jesus prayed for was healed. These were the signs of his messiahship. It's why everybody's not healed today. Everybody was healed during his ministry because those were the signs that he was the Messiah. Jesus today, for whatever reason, chooses who he heals and whom he doesn't. That's his business. But in those days, everybody was healed that he prayed for. What does it mean? It means they didn't go to him. It means that when he showed up, there were lepers, demon-possessed, and sick that didn't go to Jesus. They just didn't ask him. The Bible says you don't have because you don't ask. He couldn't do many things in Nazareth because they didn't believe. They just went, "I'm not going to go to Jesus. He can't heal my leprosy. I remember him building my table or building a wall in my house. He can't heal me." So he just didn't go. Not believing. So when he says to Jairus, "Only believe," he's saying, "Let's go. Don't stop now. Don't turn around now. Only believe. Hey, only believe. Take it to Jesus. Call out on his name. Only believe. And she will be made well." When he came to the house, he permitted no one to go in except Peter, James, and John, the inner three. Why Peter, James, and John got that special treatment, we don't know. They're kind of clowns. When you're studying the gospel, it's James and John that, you know, went to Jesus and said, "Can we have the right and left in the kingdom?" It's Peter that constantly fought over who was going to be greatest in the kingdom of God and had foot and mouth disease. Gail Irwin says that God chose these guys as the inner circle because they were the biggest goof-ups, and God would show you that he could use you by using them. Maybe that's true. And the father and the mother of the girl now all wept and mourned for her, but he said, "Do not weep. She is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him, knowing that she was dead. But he put them all outside, took her by the hand, and called, saying, "Little girl, arise." In the Hebrew, it's Tabitha Kumi. "Little girl, arise." Then her spirit returned, and she arose immediately. And he commanded them that they should give her something to eat, I think to show that she wasn't just a spirit, but that she was physically raised from the dead. And her parents were astonished. It's probably an understatement. But he charged them to tell no one what had happened. You imagine that? Tells the ruler of the synagogue, "Don't tell anybody." Why? Because Jairus could get up and go, "Guys, what happened last week?" We'll talk more at another point, because we're running short on time, just about why Jesus told some people that they weren't to tell them. Part of it was he was being rejected. There were reasons they were following Jesus, and they weren't the right reasons. They were following him for the miracles and not to give their lives to him. But may we walk in faith. May we reach out and trust in him enough to say, "Lord, I believe in you and I trust you and I'm going to step out in faith." Maybe there's a mountain that needs to be moved and you can trust God, like Abraham, who just believes him and received righteousness. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. May we reach out and apply faith in our lives. Maybe you haven't taken a struggle you've had to God, just simply because you assume, "Well, God, it's not going to do anything." Maybe it's a healing. Maybe it's a marriage problem. Maybe it's a problem with your kids. But God's not going to do it. I'm not going to pray. I'm not going to go into a holding pattern, keep praying and praying and praying, because God's not going to move. Well, that's a lack of faith. No wonder God's not moving. But faith says, you know what? I'm going to pray until I get the answer. I'm going to seek God. The Bible says I don't have because I don't ask. I'm going to ask. I'm going to call out to him. Who knows what God will do? Who knows what mountains will be cast into the sea and what testimonies we'll have in this place about all God does in our lives? Let's stand up and pray. Father, we do want to thank you so much as we once again take time to look at your word. And we are encouraged in the area of faith, and we want to see you move in our lives. We realize that these are issues of real riches, not the riches of this world. Lord, we pray that just because there are people who misuse this principle for their own personal gain, that we would not lose the real meaning of what you said when you said, ask anything in my name and it will be done for you. May we believe your word enough to apply these truths in our lives. We thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please, and your eyes closed for just a couple of minutes. Perhaps you're here today and you've never invited Jesus into your life. Maybe like the Gadareans, you have said, whoa, I don't want you in my life. You maybe are scared that God will do something with you. Instead of being like the people of Capernaum who waited for him even at the shore and welcomed him when he got there, cried out and welcomed him into his life. If you say to him today, Lord, I want you in my life. The Bible says in John 1:12, as many as received him, he gave the power to become a child of God. As many as received him and said, come into my life. If you're here today, you'd like to receive the Lord. Ask him to come in. He won't come in unless you invite him. If you want to invite him today, surrender yourself to him. Ask him to forgive your sins and come into your life. I'm going to ask you to do something simple. Just lift your hand up. Lift your hand up now, if you would please. Lift it up high so I can see it. I want to take time to acknowledge your hands. God bless you guys. In the middle. That's great. Anybody else? Lift your hand up now. Lift it up high so I can see it. God bless you, sir. Off to my left. That's great. Anybody else? All the way in the back? God bless you. Ma'am, that's great. Here in the middle section there, God bless you. If you would, put your hands back up again. We want to pray for you. Father, we pray for those that have their hands raised now. We pray that they would be rooted and grounded and established in you. We pray that you would fill them with your Spirit, that you would give them the gifts of the Spirit, that you would open up doors for them to be able to be used by you, that their lives would count for the one who really matters and really makes a difference. And Lord, we thank you for this in the name of Jesus. I would like everyone, including those who raised their hands, to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I have sinned. And I know my sin has separated me from you. But I also understand that I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus upon the cross. So I invite you into my life, and I turn from my sin that I can live for you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Welcome to the family of God. Amen.
We hope that Practical Christian Living helps you to live God's Word, that we might be doers and not just hearers. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, go to calvarytucson.com, where you'll find recordings from our weekday and weekend services at Calvary Tucson, and also archives of Practical Christian Living programs. We are grateful for your donations that help fund the production and broadcast of Practical Christian Living. You can donate simply and securely. Here's how. Log on to calvarytucson.com. Click on Donate, then select PCL Radio. Or you can mail your donation to Calvary Tucson, PCL Radio, 5170 South Julian Drive, that's Julian Drive, Tucson, Arizona, 85706. And when you donate $25 or more, we'll send you a copy of Pastor Daniel Fusco's book, Honestly. In it, Daniel reminds us that even when life gets messy and unpredictable, Jesus is still there, and Jesus is real. Thanks for supporting and listening to Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow. We pray that you come to know the grace and peace that can only come from Jesus, and that you would walk closer with Him every day.